The Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. This is going to be the last time, the last teaching in our series, Pieces of Eight, a study in Romans chapter 8. Hope you enjoyed it. God gave us this chapter as an answer to the Apostle Paul's cry for help because he wanted to obey God. He realized he didn't have the power, the capacity to obey God in and of himself. Obeying God, trusting God, is not something we do in our own human flesh and power. It takes depending on a power greater than ourselves. And Romans chapter 8 told us about that from beginning to end. And Paul ends this particular passage with the fact that no matter what comes against us as a human being, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are what? More than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Huper nikeo, much more in the Greek, much more than a conqueror. How many folks wear Nike shoes? How many folks have Nikes on right now? Okay. You know that word Nike comes from the Greek word nikeo, which means conqueror, right? Amen? I talked to somebody last week, they're a marketing major. And they said, I'm going to tell Nike that they're not fully utilizing that name because they should let people know it means conqueror, right? But we are more than that. We are more than that. We are exceedingly abundantly above and beyond a conqueror, beyond a victorious person. Do you feel that? I don't always feel it. So I have to go back to the truth of God's word and I have to allow that truth to temper and to conform my thinking and my beliefs. If I don't feel like I'm a conqueror, it's not that I'm not a conqueror or more than a conqueror, it's that I'm not realizing and understanding and accepting that I'm more than a conqueror. Because if God's word says it, that settles it. Last week we talked about God's view of you. I mean, you have your own view of yourself, and that has been developed. Listen to this. Where's Esai? Okay. I just want to make sure that when I go over this, I think of people in my brain that I want to hear this. Okay. And that's all I'll say. What happens is that over the years, we begin to accept a certain truth that's not truth at all. Okay. And it comes by way of thinking of the same thing over and over. It comes by way of what people tell us. You know, if people tell you you're a loser over and over again, and you believe that about yourself, guess what you're going to feel like? Is it true? Not as a believer, not according to this document that we hold in our hands. We are more than victorious, more than conquerors. So, what has to happen? Either I obey the lie that I've been believing for years, or I do what Romans 12 says, and I allow my mind to be transformed by the renewing of this truth. I am more than a conqueror. I am well able. I can do all things meaning everything that he's called me to do. I can do all things through this strength that's infused into my life, through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians what? 4:13. Thank you. Ooh, that was good. That was very good. So I have to wrap my mind, say mind, around that truth, or I can accept the lie. And I don't want to accept the lie. I've accepted the lie for many, many years, and there was a time in my life that God just invaded my being, and he said, this is the truth, walk in it. You don't have to walk in it, but this is the truth. So by God's grace, I want to walk in it day by day. Amen? And you never know what he has in store for you when you do that. Amen? He could want you to have a career in the Navy. Amen? Stand up, sailor. Stand up. Mario, I know I can't embarrass you because you've been through boot camp and you were, I'm sure, embarrassed enough. But you know what? God's doing a great work in your life. He's got awesome plans for your life. You made it through boot camp, right? You made it through boot camp, right?
Yes, Pastor.
And your next assignment is in Virginia. Can you tell us a little about it? Because this is part of the sermon, part of the message.
I'm going to Norfolk, Virginia on a cruiser. That's all I know right now. CG-56 San Jacinto. Guided missile cruiser.
Whoa, dude. Awesome. Thanks for keeping in contact with us. I know mostly you talk to Peter, then Peter talked to me, but thank you for those times that we got to connect over how long has it been? About four months? Wow. It does? It didn't seem like that. Welcome home, Sailor. Amen. You see, but Mario was given that opportunity, and I'm sure he had thoughts like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if I'm supposed to do it. But he challenged those thoughts. He got them in line with God's truth that says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen? And he's seeing it come to pass in his life. Hallelujah. Here in Romans chapter 8, again, this is the last part, so grab hold of it for all it's worth. Of course, here he lists some things. Let's start with verse 35 again. He says that in response to everything that he shared with us throughout this chapter, he basically said, you know, if this is true, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. You know, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Is that true? Is that true? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, hupernikeo, through him who loved us. For I am convinced, and that's what we're going to end with today, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, that includes every universe out there, everything in creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Do you see here that it beckons us and begs us to be convinced of this truth? To be convinced of, because if you're not convinced of it, you won't reap the benefits of this truth. I have to believe and understand and accept that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. That everything I face, and we're going to look at these things today, that everything that comes into my life is not strong enough or powerful enough to drag me away from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I don't care what you're going through. Now, I do care, but let me reword that. It doesn't matter what you're going through. That thing cannot separate you from the agape, the love of God, the unconditional, sacrificial, supernatural love of God. Nothing will be able to separate you from that. So you go through stuff, say stuff, with a capital S, right? I go through stuff, you go through stuff, all God's children go through stuff. Amen? And some of the stuff we go through is so unpleasant. But believe me, if I had a choice, I would not want it in my life. I don't want to deal with it. Amen? That was a weak amen. I don't want to deal with it. But, you know, either you deal with it or you check out. And if God's giving you breath today, and if there's a pulse and a heartbeat, check that real quick. Boom, 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 boom. That means he's not done with you. He is not finished with you. So are we going to remain a loser like everyone says you are? Yeah, everyone, even you. No. Are we going to listen to the enemy's lies, the devil's lies? No. We're going to go back to God's word, and we're going to allow that to determine who we are. God's view of us will rule in Jesus' name. Now that word convinced in the Greek is pitho, to convince by argument, true or false, to rely on by inward certainty. Are you certain on the inside that God loves you? Are you certain that He cares for you? Then, in spite of the fact that there are 7 billion people on the face of this planet, in spite of that He looks at you with a loving, intimate grace and mercy, and knows every detail about your life. Do you believe that? Are you convinced of that? If you're not convinced, and let me tell you, I'm not always convinced of that deep down on the inside, but I have to go back to the truth, allow my mind to be renewed. That inward certainty, it means agreeing, it means assurance, to believe, to have confidence, and we'll read another verse where it's translated confidence, to be content. I am content with the fact that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm content with the fact that nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God. To make friends with, to obey, persuade, trust, yield. Okay? In the King James, it says, I am persuaded. You ever have somebody persuade you? Maybe to buy something that you don't want to buy, right? You get persuaded, right? This is a good kind of persuasion. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am sure. The Amplified reads this way. Let me read that to you. He says, for I am persuaded beyond doubt, and I am sure that nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. But it's interesting, as I looked at the definition, the Greek definition of this word, convinced, it has to do with to be convinced by argument, right? You ever have like inner arguments in your mind? You know? Today's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. No, it's not. You're in an internal argument on the inside. Conflict, thanks. Give me a pen to write that down. Conflict, thanks. It's an inner conflict, an inner conflict. So I have to turn to this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can turn with me, but I have to, because it says here that I have to be convinced by argument. I have to win the argument that's in my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians. Thank you. This is the second letter. Keep me on my toes, please. Thanks, Stephen. I know you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talks to the church, and let's start with verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. King James says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word carnal is sarx in the Greek, or it's not of the flesh, not of the sinful nature. The weapons we fight with. Are we supposed to fight? Are we supposed to fight and win? And more than, yeah, but it's just the difference is between us and the world is that the weapons we fight with are different weapons. Okay, they're not anything that the world can offer or that I can muster up myself. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. You see that? And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, that's a lot of work, isn't it? Taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So if I have any thought other than I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord, I'm God's son, I'm God's child, and I'm going to make it today in Jesus' name. I'm going to walk faithfully and obediently before Him. I'm going to trust Him until He takes me home to glory. If I have any thought contrary to that, I have to go back to this and say, I choose to believe what you say rather than my own thoughts and feelings. See, that's why there's so much chaos. I think we sang it in the song about chaos. Fights and quarrels. James says that all starts from within us, that conflict within us. Okay, I have to lay my life on the altar and say, God, what do you say about this situation? What do you say about yourself? What do you say about me? Get into God's word. Choose to believe that. Stand on that. Amen? And believe me, it will make an impact and a difference in your life. I am more than a conqueror. Don't you think it would be better for you to wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord, than to wake up and look in the mirror and say, right? Right? You know? And this is a renewing process, because we've been hearing this stuff, I know I have, much of my life, either from, you know, inner thoughts or outward circumstances or people or what have you. I have to challenge those things. I have to win the argument in Jesus' name. Also, in Philippians 1:6, very common verse, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I believe your King James says that God will perform it. He'll make it happen until the day you see him face to face. And yes, that word confident is the same word, okay, pitho in the Greek. I am confident, I am convinced. And you know what? If you're not there, get there, okay? Get to that place of confidence, that place of courage, that place of assurance, because you're going to need that as you face the issues that life sometimes literally throws at you. Amen? I'm confident. I'm convinced. And if you're not, pray this. Lord, make me convinced of this. Make me confident today. Amen? You know, confidence goes a long way. Those of you that are looking for jobs, and I know I think I asked a week or two ago folks that are looking for jobs, if you go into a job interview, what is the main thing that will give you the edge? Education, experience, right? You know, being born on the right side of the track, right? Now, you go in there with a confidence. Listen, you go in there and the hiring manager will look at that confidence and they'll say, I want that in my company, okay? Believe me, he will. He will. And he will take a confident person who doesn't have as much education over somebody that has buku education but can't even look him in the eye or her in the eye. Amen? Come on now.
Thank you. Okay.
Being confident of this. As believers, we must face, write that down. We've been talking about that. As believers, we must face every issue with this type of confidence. Got it? A casual, here it is, so-so attitude. A casual so-so attitude, right? You're going to graduate high school? Maybe. I don't know. No. I guarantee I will not be going to your graduation if that's your attitude. Come on now. We have to let go of this kind of stuff. It's not a casual so-so attitude toward life. A casual so-so attitude toward life will not bring us into the reality of our more-than-conqueror status, okay? We have to change our thinking, change our words, okay? You know, change our focus and believe what God says about us. This inner certainty comes as you see his constant faithfulness. Constant faithfulness. Constant faithfulness. Constant faithfulness exhibited in your life and in the life of others. Amen? Where you say, George, you know, you seem so confident. Well, many of you didn't know me 31 years ago. I wasn't so confident. Okay? I'm not even going to go into all the unhappy stories, Keith. But suffice it to say, you're not really born this way. Some people seem to be born with it, you know. But because you're not born that way doesn't mean that you cannot accomplish this or cannot walk in this. Because more than conquerors are formed and forged over time. Okay? Even great leaders, many great leaders were not born great leaders. Okay? They served faithfully. What does Jesus say? Be faithful over the smaller things, and he'll put you in charge over the bigger things, right? Well, you know, I don't want to make my bed and clean, wash the dishes. Be faithful over the smaller things. He'll put you in charge over the bigger things. Well, I don't want to take this job. It's minimum wage and yada, yada, yada. Be faithful over the smaller things. Come on. This is the path that God leads people on. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. And He will promote you in life. He will promote you. Amen? Okay. You have to see His consistent faithfulness. Question, are you convinced that the following things will not separate you from the love of God? Also, are you convinced that you are more than a conqueror in all these areas? Now we're going to go over these things that he lists here, okay? Because he is arguing, he's presenting an argument right here. He's saying, here are all the things that you're facing right now as a human being, and much more as a believer in Christ. He's talking to believers, and he asks the question, Will death or life separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? I mean, death, I mean, that's the biggie. I mean, we're all trying to run away from death, aren't we? Right? You know, the Botox is being sold like crazy. You know, nobody wants to get old. Nobody wants to look old. Everybody wants to live forever, right? Unfortunately, they want to live forever in this condition. That's not going to happen. But death is an enemy, right? Even the enemy of death cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the enemy throws many things at us, and death is the biggie. You know, he figures if he can kill you, he's won. That is a lie. That is a lie. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Even death cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It'll usher us into His presence. Wow. I said, wow. That's why Paul can say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, you see how it's completely turned around in what the world believes, right? That's why when I do funerals of believers in Christ, people who knew Christ, and there is no doubt that they knew Christ, there is a bittersweet experience. There is something that occurs, and it doesn't occur anywhere else, the combination of sorrow and rejoicing, right? Because they finally met their Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah, in His time, amen? Death only ushers you into His presence. Hallelujah. Now, what about life? Some people are more afraid of life than they are death, right? That's why people oversleep. You know, they sleep. People are sleeping right now. Could you imagine? I'm almost envious. Why? Because you're afraid of life, right? You're afraid of the responsibilities, the issues, the things they have to face. Paul says, not even life will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's why Romans 5:17 says that we who have received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. What does reign mean? R-E-I-G-N. What does reign mean? Okay. More specific? That means you rule. Cat rules, right? Under God's authority, right? Submitted to Him, you reign in life. That means the devil is not going to call the shots in your life. You reign over him. He doesn't reign over you. Even the problems and the issues in life are not supposed to govern me and manipulate me and cause me to draw away from God and so forth. I am supposed to, according to this, reign in life by one man, Christ Jesus. Are you there? Now, what about angels or demons? Now, this is supernatural stuff. Are you afraid of the supernatural? You know, I'm afraid of a few things, but the devil and demons, no. I've been facing him for 30 years. I looked him face to face, literally, over the years. That is one thing I'm not afraid of. So that's when people call me and say, Pastor, I think there's something in my house. I hear like knocks and I see shadows. And I'm afraid. And, and I went to bed, and my bed moved, and something on the table just kind of, you know, went on its own, and no. I think somebody died here or something, and you know what I tell them? Relax, it's only a demon. That's all it is. It's only a demon. How many of you guys are spider stompers? Oh, man, give me a spider flick. I don't care what it is. I mean, if it's coming after me. Okay. All right, I'll try to get it and scoot it outside. But if it's coming after me, how... Okay. I didn't know this analogy would be so much trouble. The devil and his demons are like scurvy little spiders. Amen? They're nothing compared to the power and the awesome, mighty presence of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, my Bible says that I'm supposed to cast them out. Get out of here, devil! No, don't leave. Stay right there. I'm sorry. Sit down, Clarence. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew 10:1 says that he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority, King James says power, to drive out evil spirits and to heal every sickness and disease. Amen? He gave you authority. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have authority over every work of darkness. That doesn't mean you go look for demons. Don't go demon hunting and don't blame everything on a demon, right? A long time ago, I was going to go to church and my car didn't start. And, there was something, some issue with the carburetor or something. And then I called a friend and I said, you know, the devil's after me. My car won't start. He says, you mean there's demons in your carburetor, man? You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, your Lord. You have authority over the devil, over demons. Amen. Luke 10:19 says, Jesus again, behold, I give unto you power, also translated authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing shall by any means harm you. I don't care what kind of show the devil puts on in your room. Okay? And shadows, whatever. You know what? I am not interested in it. It's just a demon, and deal with it. Rise up in the name of Jesus. If you want me to come over, I'll come over, and we'll say to that thing, get the heaven out of here. Amen? That's all it is. No matter what, angels or demons, and demons are just fallen angels, right? Same thing, but they're just fallen. They will not be able to separate you from the love, the agape love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Then it says, neither the present nor the future. You know, we're afraid of today. We're afraid of tomorrow. We're anxious about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? What's your plan 5 years from now? I don't know. I just hope I'm alive in 5 years. The present cannot separate you from God's love. The future, no matter what the enemy has planned for you, it cannot separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. You serve a sovereign God who has already seen your future, who has already worked all things out together for your good. So you know what? Rest. Rest. Tell somebody next to you, rest. And we used to use this term, chill out. Chill out. Okay? God's with you today. He'll be with you tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Psalm 23:6 is in your notes. Let me read that to you. King James says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know. I really don't. God only gives us very limited keyhole perception of things, right? And that's a good thing, right? I'd stay in bed if I knew what I was going to face, right? But he's there. His goodness and His mercy will be there, brother. Amen? All the days of your life, whether it's today or tomorrow. So the present nor the future will be able to drag us away or separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Now he says, what about powers, these unseen forces? He mentioned angels and demons, but this particular word is dunamis in the Greek. The power out there in the unseen realm, will that be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? You know why? Because we have dunamis. We have power. And the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. Do you believe that? Amen? When did that power come upon us? Yeah. When we accepted Christ, when we were filled with the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive dunamis. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. We have that power. Our power is greater than the power of the enemy, so we don't have to fear being separated from God's love. Ephesians 6:10, that's where it talks about the full armor of God. It says, finally be strong in the Lord. Has anybody ever told you, be strong, be strong, be strong? I'm hanging on a thread. It's not that kind of strength. That's human. Human strength has an end. God's strength is eternal. God's strength begins when our strength gives out. God's strength begins when our strength gives out, right? Right? It is a supernatural strength. When he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, he means that you can receive an infusion of God's power, God's strength, God's ability. And how does that come? Well, I've noticed that it doesn't come by just osmosis, you know. You ever lay down and say, I'm going to put the Bible on my chest and everything in there is going to come into my life, right? It doesn't happen that way. You have to crack this open. You have to read it, meditate. It has to be first and foremost on your mind. Prayer, the Word. I've been saying this for 17 years. Prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. Worship, coming here and just availing yourself to God. Those quiet times alone. Trading the heavy metal for worship music. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Okay, that's all I'll say about that. And worshiping God, worshiping Him. Amen? That will give you a strength that is not your own. Amen? And remember this, and we're going to talk about this Wednesday night too. 1 John 4:4, let's say it together. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in me. So it's God's power against the devil's power. Okay? Keith, I know football's over. Give me two teams. Give me the best team last year and the worst team last year. Let's say pro. Patriots? Give me your pen again. I gotta cross out this example. Okay, there you go. God's power is greater. God's power is greater. He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. That means He's all power. He's omniscient. That means He's all knowing. Well, do you believe, I can't get over this, that even though there are 7 billion people on this planet, He's still able to relate to me as if I'm the only one here. That's powerful. That's the God that your life rests in. Amen? Emphasis on rest. So, he goes on, he says, height nor depth can't even separate me. And I believe that has to do with things that are beyond our comprehension, things that are too high, too lofty for us, things that we just cannot grasp. Even those confusing things cannot separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Height nor depth, things hidden, things that you can't even see. How many folks have seen that movie, Carrie? Remember Carrie? what happens at the end? You know, she's at her mother's grave, right? And a hand comes from the grave and grabs her. Isn't that cool? Not even things beneath, not even things hidden, not even things that you are unaware of at the moment will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. A few scriptures here. David says in Psalm 139, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" He's just having this conversation with God. "Where can I flee from your presence?" You know, sometimes in our sin, we want to go somewhere where God's not, right? He's there. He's been there. He's done that. He's got the T-shirt and the hat. "Where can I flee?" Thanks, Daniel. "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." There is no escape from God's presence. It's like that goldfish that you have. Water is everywhere. Around that fish, in that fish, there is no place where water does not exist. There is no place that God does not exist. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, I'll let you read that on your own. It talks about the love of God. And it says that, Paul says that, "I'm praying that you'll understand and grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ." So it doesn't matter how high things are or how deep things are, the love of Christ is there. Therefore, it will not separate you from that love in Jesus' name. Now, he ends everything with this. "Or anything else in all creation." He only had so much room in writing this. So he concludes with saying everything in creation. And that means now we know distant universes and planets and stuff. And who knows what creatures are out there. Do you know that our sun is just a star like many of those stars? And you never know, Area 51 and all this stuff. And I'm not going to argue with you about aliens or, UFOs. But even they can't separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen? Let me say in conclusion, nothing has the ability to separate you from the one who loved you and called you. The one who died and rose again for you is with you now. So rise up and conquer, you more than conqueror. For a defeated Christian is an oxymoron. Be convinced. Tell the person next to you, be convinced. And you'll never have to give in to defeat. God welcomes more warriors. Are you game? Father God, we